Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Details at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
This is the October 25 edition of Commodity Week. Harvest continues, but it seems as if the trade is in neutral. We'll try to figure out which direction it will go and when today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Brian Bassin of Advanced Trading out of Bloomington, Illinois. In studio with us today, Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities from Watseka, Illinois, Ellen Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. And follow me online at Commodity Week for Twitter.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, let's start our discussion with this question. On the week, December corn at $4.40 lost a penny and a half. Its high was $4.46 and a half, or quarter rather, and its low was at $4.37. That's not much of a trading range. December of next year at $4.82, just a quarter of a cent of a loss for the week. Really, what is corn waiting to do at this point? Ellen Dearden.
Well, we're still trying to go sideways between that $4.50 and $4.32 on the December futures. And it seems to me that we're waiting for the halfway point or the 60% point of harvest or something along that line, which I would expect that we'll be at the halfway point on Monday's report.
Merrill Crowley?
I think the wheat has helped pull it up to some extent, along with the beans rallying. You have quite a demand for the bean meal. The other thing is, just like Ellen said, harvest. I think most of it's going in the bins, and we have such a tight situation in the cash, and people are storing it, so it hasn't come to market yet. When we get to this latter part of harvest, I think more will come to the elevator, and people will prefer not to pay the commercial storage.
And Wayne Nelson.
Well, I think Merrill hit on a very important point. I think that the strength in the wheat has kept it from falling out of bed. You know, as we looked at the EPA rumors coming out on cutting the ethanol mandate, as we looked at the yields that we keep hearing, and then we keep hearing all these people saying they're scared that the government's going to say we exported too much or sold too much to China, that that's really going to help us. That's sort of keeping a little bottom underneath things. But, you know, all in all, I think that we've got the last 20% of this harvest is not going to have a home, and it's going to get a wider basis.
A wider basis. So you think that futures will stay sideways at this point, but basis will widen out by how much?
I would say we should take another 10 or 15 cents off the basis towards the end of this harvest.
Ellen, would you agree with that?
I would, and that's why we've been telling people this week that if you're harvesting corn and you know you're going to need to use commercial storage, go ahead and sell it right now and use that last those last bushels for your on-farm storage.
And there were some, I know, Merrill, earlier in the week that were suggesting futures could rally in the December, at least for a bit next week. But I suppose even with the rally, we could widen the basis out.
It's possible. It just kind of depends on how much grain can hit the cash market. You've got a real good margin for the ethanol crush, and the demand is there, and farmers don't want to sell it. So
You made a suggestion in your opening comment that producers were going to hold off on it and then it was all going to come in to the marketplace at the end. So this would be a case for a wider basis. Ellen suggested that they do something else earlier in the process. Are you with her on that point?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Well, she wants them to make the sales up front before, okay, and then on corn that's being harvested now, and then store what's coming in at the end of the harvest season.
Well, with the basis where it's at, I think sales are a good idea. You're looking at commercial storage costing 25 cents to get to Jan 1. You could use that 25 cents to re-own on the board if you really want to take advantage of some sort of rally. You were talking about the people talking about a rally. You could easily see a possible head and shoulders down there that could push us up, oh, I don't know, around 465. And then the halfway point from our drop is around 470. So it's possible to see a rally up there. I still think we're still going to see around 430 before we see 460.
And would you agree with that?
I think we're going to see 425, and I've been saying that for a while, and we haven't gotten quite down there. But again, you know, I think rallies back to this 450 area, which would be about the neckline on that little head and shoulders bottom, probably need to be rewarding that market with short-term bushels.
You're in the same boat?
Yeah, but I'd like to ask why Decatur's paying so much for cash corn right now if we're all so bearish.
Yeah, well, here's the question is that we have a crop. We have a big crop by all accounts coming in from the harvest. And at first, you know, well, we think maybe it just took the top off. And the top must have been a darn long ways up because it's a big corn crop by all accounts. We'll find out how big from USDA and whether they adjust the FSA numbers. Given that, it hasn't sunk as low as most people think it might have or maybe should have at this point, and there must be something else afoot.
You know, there's a couple things going on, Todd. We've had tremendously good export sales. We've also seen, not just in the corn market, but let's stop and think. We've sent a lot of Milo to China that doesn't go into their corn quota as such going along, but that takes that out of the feed market here in the U.S., which puts corn back into that. We saw DDGs, I think, record shipments as far as that going over to Asia here in the last week or two. So we've got all that going along with the idea that they're going to buy a little more. We're not sure what the government's going to say as far as harvested acres. We know the yield per acre's been good, but how many acres we got?
So is it the export market that has potential for corn or maybe the driving force in the corn market at this time?
Well, I think it is. That's kind of the underlying force. And the sales recently have been a lot of optional origin sales. So I think with a cheaper dollar, the U.S. may pick up some of those. And again, it's pretty much an Asian market, although remember that Mexico came in and bought a pretty big chunk of corn this week from the U.S.
Have you watched the Chinese economy? Has it been chugging back to life further than it had? I mean, it had stalled and stumbled for a while. It's never been bad by any means, but is it?
Yeah, bad is relative, you know, when your growth is only 7%. You know, it's a little difficult to be too negative, but I think looking at the mining situation and some of the other industries that we can say that China has definitely slowed down.
Is protect but be aware the point of view for you at this point for corn?
Absolutely. Buy breakouts and sell, you know, breakdowns.
In looking back over history of years with large increases in ending stocks, we have seen times where the market tends to move sideways through this time period, and then it tends to break. We may get a little rally of 20 cents. On average, you get a 30, but out of 33 years, 23 of them showed only less than 10% of a rally. So that would be more like 20 cents. So I just think that you're going to see this market stabilize, maybe rally up to the 450, but I think it's going to then crash back down either into November or December before we get any kind of rally to really buy.
Just to toss in, the December is that time frame we're looking for that 20-week low in the corn, too.
Mm. What about the wheat market for the week? Everybody seemed to think it was the strength of the marketplace.
It was the strength of the marketplace. We made our high on Monday on the December corn, went to that, 7.11 and a quarter, and really couldn't do much anything. I think we've put in a 13-week high this week, and we're going to struggle on this wheat. It looks to me like we're going to have Australia with a pretty darn good crop, and India's going to try to move a lot of her crop before her harvest starts there, February, March. So I think this may be the last hurrah for a little bit on the wheat.
Well, it was the strength in the marketplace, and as you mentioned, it had a high at $7.11 and a quarter in the December contract for the soft red. Its low was $6.90 and a quarter, and it settled just right there, right at $6.90 and three quarters. But it posted a loss of 15 cents on the week.
It's a hook reversal down there.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a hook reversal down. So, yeah, this is the last hurrah. Does that mean for you guys that have soft red winter wheat, they're putting in the ground or put in the ground this fall, that they need to be making sales?
Yeah, I think so. Looking at the July soft wheat in that $7 to $7.10 range.
We sold some this week. We felt that it was above $7. There was a good place to knock some in. Like Ellen said, we're looking at some better conditions. Argentina, you know, where they're short for now, but give us 6 months down the road and the wheat situation's a whole lot different. And let's remember, wheat isn't going to stay $2 above this. They put a lot of the wheat into the corn market, in the feed market last year. You don't feed $2 extra wheat.
November beans this week, a top at $13.18 and three quarters. It's bottom $12.88 and a half. Settlement price there up 8 and three quarters at $13. Next year's November at $11.65, finished 6 cents lower. December bean meal up $13.40. Bean oil was down 95 cents. I guess the thing for the week that was most of the fun was that Russia was in the marketplace to buy soybeans.
Well, it was kind of unusual to see them in the marketplace, and I'm kind of wondering if we're not seeing a little bit of pre-buying or pre-positioning. If we have a good crop down in South America, we know what the logistics are going to be. And I think some of these countries may be buying some of this grain in preparation if Brazil can't provide or if Argentina is still having their inflation problems. I think they might stay with the U.S. But if they can show they can sell grain and provide grain into the export market, some of this buying we've seen may go back south.
Takes us back to these optional origin sales that I think are going to be the way that most of the buys are going to come in.
Hold it. So maybe you can, I'm not following this completely, so explain to me why would they pre-buy?
They think the price is pretty decent, which
right.
is, you know, had a pretty good drop. Then they're looking at the U.S. as a provider, has a pretty good crop coming in. The prices could go up if they can't provide the product out of Brazil?
Yeah, so there was my question. So is it because they're looking at potential weather problems out of Brazil and Argentina, and I know it's been dry in some of the, in at least Argentina, or is there something else?
It's the infrastructure, Todd. They just really haven't been able to handle the number of bushels through their port system that they thought they could.
And so just because the infrastructure is going to be the problem in getting the amount of oil seeds out of both the United States and Brazil, Argentina, all three combined in order to meet worldwide demand.
And it will be a corn problem as well.
And then, of course, we have the RFS, which could change things for biodiesel and biofuel, and that could push things along too.
That very much is a big deal, Todd. You know, they keep talking and we keep hearing the phrase, but yet if it's economical, we'll still crush all the corn and make the ethanol. Maybe. The big oil companies don't like to blend it in. The other thing we have to look at is crush margins. Been great. Why wouldn't you book some stuff in? They aren't selling down there now because they're about out for right now. Why not book in and make sure I've got some profits made on some of this other stuff? And if you hedge it in, you know, you can always add in more cheaper South American bushels later once we see the weather's good, once they get their crop in. We've been a little wet in Brazil. We've been a little dry in Argentina. Weather forecast looks like that's improving. And boy, did you see beans dip on Friday. After that come out right on the close, we went from down about 3 to 4 to down about 10 to 11. So I think that weather forecast was very big.
Weather forecast was big, but I'm a little confused at this point. I want to know whether you think beans are sideways and in the future, are friendly in the future. I'm not going to say bullish, or they're bearish in the future at this point.
I think the trend is still higher. We need to see the nearby beans get over 13, 18 and stay there, but the trend is still higher at this point.
I would agree that it's higher, but it is sitting there looking like it's kind of teetering because it can't get past 13, 18.
We've got a real fight right now for beans to go to the Gulf, beans to go to export, and beans to go to processors. And we do know the pipeline was doggone empty. And let's face it, These guys know that once they put whatever beans are left or whatever corn's left at the end of harvest in a bin, they aren't going to get it for a while. So they're going to be aggressively buying beans what they can before the bin doors shut.
December live cattle this week at $132.97.5. We're up 95 cents. The feeders in the November at $166.65 are off 20 cents. And the lean hogs at $90.42.5, up $2.47.5. Feeder cattle, I suppose, are still kind of looking back at South Dakota and saying, whoa, what's happened there, and really how much of a problem does it create?
Yeah, I think the initial bullishness from the situation, the supply situation being lower, was a big spark, but we had to just come back and reassess how that's gone. Feeder cattle really mostly sideways this week, a lot of chop.
And for the hog producer, anything to add for them as you look into, for livestock producers in general, purchasing inputs at all at this time?
Yeah, we've been buying corn needs, feeling that the flat price of corn isn't going to go a whole lot lower.
Of course, you're listening to Commodity Week. The folks in studio with us include Alan Dearden, who you just heard, from Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois, Merrill Crowley from Crowley Commodities from Watseka, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. When we come back, we'll talk with Brian Basting out of Advanced Trading in Bloomington, Illinois.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. This week was much colder with temperatures 6 to 9 degrees below average, with the largest departures in the north. Precipitation was light across the state and averaged only 0.4 inches statewide. Many areas saw their first frost and their first snowflakes this week. The largest amount I saw was 3.5 inches in Mendota. According to the National Weather Service forecast, it won't be quite so cold over the next week. Daytime highs on Saturday will be in the low 50s across the northern half of the state and in the mid to upper 50s and low 60s in the southern half. In fact, that temperature pattern will persist for the rest of the weekend and next week in Illinois, with 50s in the north and 60s in the south. Sunday morning will be the coldest of the week, with lows in the upper 20s in the north and in the low to mid 30s elsewhere. The lows will moderate next week and be in the 30s in the north and in the 40s elsewhere on Monday and Tuesday, and they'll warm up even more on Wednesday and Thursday into the 50s and low 60s. There is a 40 to 60% chance of rain across Illinois on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday as a large low pressure system moves across the state. Potential rainfall totals are in the range of 1.5 to 2 inches in the southern half of the state and 1 to 1.5 inches in the northern half of the state. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
This is the October 25 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. In studio with us, Alan Dearden of Ag Review from Morton, Illinois, Merrill Crowley from Crowley Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Brian Basting's on the phone line from Advanced Trading in Bloomington, Illinois. Brian, thank you for taking the time with us. Why don't you introduce yourself to our audience, please?
I appreciate the opportunity to be with you this afternoon here, Todd. My name is Brian Basting. I've been with Advanced Trading a little over 20 years now. I do a lot of work with our producer marketing division here in Bloomington. Go out and do a lot of speaking to farmers, farm groups. I just did a series of pre-harvest meetings here back in August and September, and we'll do a lot of meetings in January and February. I also do analysis on the corn, soybean, and specialize in the wheat market, and do a lot of travel to visit with our commercial grain elevator customers also.
And importantly for us, you're a University of Illinois alum.
I am. Undergraduate and master's degree from the Department of Agricultural Economics.
Brian, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the wheat. We've got the dollar here at a two-year low versus the euro, And, you know, we are in competition against Black Sea wheat and also against French and German wheat for export business. How's that going to play out?
It's a good question, Ellen. I think we're seeing some resurgence in corn in wheat exports here the last couple months. I think that's a combination of some smaller than expected crops on the way from Argentina. We're seeing tremendous demand from Brazil at the moment. We also saw big sales to China this summer, but I think the weak dollar will continue to support U.S. sales. I do think we're going to see some keen competition down the road here from Australia. It looks like they're going to have a really good harvest here. They're going to wrap up this fall. So I think that the U.S. wheat exports are on the rebound with a weaker dollar and demand from China and Brazil, but I don't think it's going to be a tremendously strong program that will continue. I think it'll back off to an average pace moving into early 14.
We're seeing a lot of farmers talking about the printed money that we're doing for our QE system, and they all thinking that maybe shortly down the road we'll be looking at some inflation to help our commodities along. With the unemployment situation the way it is right now and some of the things going on in China, do you see inflation or deflation down the road?
I don't see a big swing either way of the next 3 to 6 months. I think we're going to see the Fed maintain the stance that they've had for several months here. I think we're going to get our first glimpse at the third quarter GDP next week, I believe on Wednesday the 30th. I think that's going to show a modest growth, and I think we're going to see some residual impact of the shutdown, government shutdown in this OND quarter. That's going to surface and going to slow down GDP. So I don't see the Fed changing course. I think we're going to see steady as she goes, for lack of a better phrase, for the next 3 to 6 months. So I don't see any big swing either towards deflation or inflation short term.
Brian, as we were talking at the University of Illinois football game a couple weeks ago, you said that basically your large elevators in Iowa had pre-booked very, very small amounts of grain, pre-sailed much smaller than usual. Are they making up for that now that harvest has started?
We haven't seen that to a high degree, Wayne, anywhere across the Midwest. Producers were slow to forward price earlier this year in 2013 due to the fact that many of them oversold in 2012 due to the drought. And so they were conservative here in 2013. And now they're finding that their yields have exceeded some of their most optimistic expectations, which is good. But as a percentage of the crop size, we're anticipating the sales during the September, October, November quarter potentially to be the smallest percentage on record because, again, of the lack of forward sales and the size of the crop. So, no, we have not seen a big surge in producers selling across the scales anywhere across the Midwest at this point.
Wayne alluded to the elevator system. Advanced Trading does advise elevators. I'm wondering, because elevators work on throughput or number of bushels or turn, what kinds of things are you having them do at this point to take advantage of a big corn crop?
Every operation is different, of course, throughout the Midwest. But one of the things that elevators are looking at with encouragement is that we're seeing good carries in the corn market. For example, the carry from December to March futures is about 12 to 13 cents at the moment, and looking even further out than that, the carry in the futures market from December out to July is about 28 cents now. So we have not seen those carries available to an elevator for quite some time. So on the ownership they do have, they're looking at possibility of perhaps stretching that ownership into March with some hedges there. Again, every operation is different, but the challenge involved at this point is we're not seeing a lot of movement from producers. Eventually, that will occur. Whether it occurs here post-harvest before the first of the year or in early 2014, it will occur, and they'll get another opportunity to get the ownership then. But I think that's the change in the corn market is we are seeing some opportunities for elevators to get a return on their investment.
Well, it appears to me that producers are selling beans across the scales because of the inverse, but not selling the corn. But at what point in time do you expect that these corn bushels will be sold?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that producers are being students of the market. They are seeing the inverse in beans. The market wants their beans. They're rewarding the market, and they are looking at carries in the corn market, substantially higher bushels on the corn than they expected, and they are socking those bushels away. At this point, I don't see a lot of movement in corn at these levels. this fall. I think it will probably be sometime in early 2014 before we see that. But things can change. You know, if we get a surge in the prices this fall for a weather market in South America and or Chinese buying, that may spark their interest. But I don't see a lot of corn movement this fall. I think that a lot of producers are in the fortunate position of being strong from a cash flow standpoint after the last couple of years and don't need to sell for the time being.
Understanding that the producer is facing probably a 25-cent cost in storage if he takes it into the elevator, and the fact that he's probably filling up his storage because of our large crop, what would you suggest a producer do that's taking corn to the elevator?
Every situation is different. I think that producer, there is opportunities there to sell and buy a call option, but I think another opportunity for a producer, particularly in the areas where corn basis is weak or will be weak by the time they harvest, for example, in the northern corn belt, looking at the carry in the market out to next spring and summer is quite attractive in the corn right now, particularly relative to the last couple years. And then they need to examine their historical basis trends, how much of an improvement might be expected from these levels this fall to next summer, and that'll help in the decision whether or not to sell or put the corn in commercial storage. But every region is different, but it's something that we're picking up that producers are a bit rusty at, and understandably, but they haven't worked in a carry market like we've seen in corn for several years now. So I think everybody's just kind of dusting off those educational techniques. How do I sell a carry? How do I work that? And I think we'll see producers successfully navigate that this year too.
Brian, we know that the beans are in an inverse, so it's easy to go out and buy a deferred call out there that's actually trading at a cheaper price. So if we do see the price appreciation where it comes up to where it was, we get a chance to make money. But I'm sitting here, selling my corn, and I look out, and I'm paying 28 cents more off the bat to buy a July call. Am I better to store my corn and sell a July call, or how do I cover the corn along the way?
Yeah, it's a good question, Wayne. I think being a student of the market, if you're going to store the corn, which the market is encouraging a producer to do today, you must sell that carry when you make that decision to store. In other words, with the July contract, 28 cents above the December, you must make that decision if you're going to store to get some price protection in place. You can do that with a traditional storage hedge, or you can do that with a put option purchase. Whatever the case may be, it must be locked in because we've seen these markets in the past with these large carries where the deferred contracts will eventually grind lower to where the nearby contract went off board. For example, if the December contract went off board today at 440, the past history has taught us that the July contract has a tendency to grind lower down to 440, and all of a sudden a producer who didn't lock in 468 is going to receive 440. And what we're encouraging producers to do is, when you make that decision to store, if you make that, to go ahead and lock in that carry using whatever marketing tool they're most comfortable in.
Brian, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
I enjoyed the opportunity, Todd. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Brian Bastien is with Advanced Trading out of Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on Commodity Week. Time for a final word from our panelist in studio, Ellen Dearden.
We have two key dates coming up, end of the month, next Thursday, and also that November 8th. Updated crop and WASDE reports.
Merrill Crowley.
Well, we're going to dust off some tools and try to take advantage of carry in the market and talk to your advisor and see what he can do to help you.
Wayne Nelson.
Hey, it's been drawn out harvest so far. We're drawing towards the end. Everybody be careful. You're getting tired as it goes along. And remember, we'd love to have you safe and listening to us again next year.
And Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Merrill Crowley from Crowley Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois. And Ellen Dearden of AgriView from Morton, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You can always hear this program on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. You can follow me on Twitter if you'd like. My handle is @CommodityWeek. Have a safe week and enjoy the harvest season.